Alan Bradbury is the principal of Bradfield Accounting. He is working to make accounting not suck by turning numbers into pathways for growth. Welcome to the show, Nolan.
Thank you for having me. Pleasure to be here.
Yeah, excited to have you on. Tell us a little about your personal life, more about your work, why you do what you do.
Yeah, I am a father to a husband. So that's where most of my time is focused and where I try to create most of my energy from. Passion wise, love to play soccer, love being in the outdoors, which based out of Seattle, it's a great location to be doing a lot of that stuff. So wonderful in that standpoint. Professionally, I'm a CPA by trade, although I think there's a stigma that comes with that that doesn't really describe what I do. So I don't prepare tax returns, which shocks a lot of people. Instead, I work with founders to help them use accounting to really grow and scale their business and understand why they maybe aren't achieving the results they want. But ultimately, we're doing that not just to solve the business issues, but to ultimately help them realize the personal goals that they've set forth. Most people don't start a business to run a business, but somewhere along the path, they usually find themselves in that situation. And we work with them to help make sure that the personal goals, the family lifestyle that they want is ultimately being achieved through the business. So that's kind of how we approach things for people.
How did you come to that? Because certainly when you're in accounting school or whatever you went to school for, you probably didn't connect those dots.
Truth be told, I did not go to school for accounting, although I think a lot of people would probably tell you that if you gave them a truth serum. I went to school to be a psychologist. I was really fascinated by the reason people do what they do, why they make the decisions they make or don't make in some cases. But ultimately found myself going into accounting for a variety of reasons, and I've loved it and enjoyed it. And then when I left, I went into public accounting, which a lot of CPAs will do. But when you do that, you kind of either choose one or two tracks. You do what's called audit or you do tax. And so you want to know what audit is, basically the opposite of tax. So it's looking at financial statements and confirming they're accurate and meaningful. Like when you invest in companies, we're the ones certifying that what you're reviewing is meaningful and correct. And so I start on this path of like, what is data used for? Why do we use it? How do we use it? What are the decisions we draw from it? And through a path of working in public accounting and then ultimately in private and taking a company public, and then ultimately shifting to working with founders and business owners over the last decade, what I found is that a lot of people, especially founders as they're scaling and growing their business, don't really use data. They drive the business through intuition and gut, and there's a huge element of that that's important in business. But fundamentally, I think if you're ignoring what the data is telling you, you're making unconscious decisions. Sometimes those can come back to bite you. And so the path that kind of led to that was, how do I help people use this information that I think they know is important, but don't use and ignore in some cases to sort of bridge the gap on areas where they're not maybe otherwise intending.
Yeah. I imagine that the majority of folks that you're working with know how important it is, but they just, you know, it's not that they don't care, but there's just more pressing, compelling things to them.
Yeah. I mean, human beings avoid things we don't like. And there's like surveys out there that say for most business owners, accounting, finance, tax is the thing they like the least about running a business. So if you sort of do an equation, you substitute those things in, right? What we come up with is like, we're avoiding accounting because we don't like it. I get that. I actually do understand that. Like that's, you know, it's an understandable thing. But like you said, they also acknowledge it's important. So how do we help rectify that for them so that it isn't something they're avoiding, but rather they can lean into and really find value in?
And so I love your tagline. You make it not suck by turning the numbers into pathways for growth. Yeah. So whether we're paying attention or not, it's telling all of our metrics, they're telling us some kind of a story.
Exactly. You know, I think when we start off, a lot of business owners, they understand, oh, there's financial statements. I have a profit and loss. I have a balance sheet. And that's important that you understand those and that you refer to those on occasion, but I'll be honest, those are usually meant for other things. They're usually meant for your tax returns and some other high level needs, maybe covenants with banks. But like you use, the most important word I'll call out there, the metrics. What are the things that really describe how your business operates to you? So when you look at them, you have a good understanding of whether you're directionally going the right way. And more often than not, financials are, they're looking backwards, and we want forward looking drivers. We want metrics that are telling us what is the leading indicator of what's going to be happening next. And so identifying those right combination of numbers, the right relationship between numbers, helps business owners really get a key sense of, is the thing, are the things I'm doing leading to the right outcomes? And if not, can I've seen them quickly enough to make the right adjustments.
So if it's not my bottom line, what are the metrics that I'm not want to say me, but let's just pretend I'm the founder that is doing all the things that you're talking about. What ought I be paying attention to?
Certainly there's an element of it, like industry-wise, right? Like it's going to have an impact on what we're looking at. But what I would say is, there's an element of it that to make sure that it's not too many metrics, right? Then it becomes white noise and it starts to lose its meaning. So I usually tell people somewhere in the 5-ish range is helpful. That's at least starting point wise. And we want to pick things that are maybe across the board. So what are some revenue related things? And it isn't just what is total revenue. It's what is the breakout of revenue by product or service that you're offering. Maybe there's a relationship live between what are the expenses that you're spending on that are directly driving the revenue, and what is the relationship between that, and what is the trend over time? Are you spending the same amount to get the same amount of revenue, or are you having to invest more to get the same amount or less, or so forth, right? For a lot of business owners, a key piece is just knowing how much money they have in the bank. So what, you know, as simple as it may sound, like how much cash do you have on hand, or taking it to the next level, understanding of the cash you have, how much is already accounted for? Like, what is your outflow going to look like in the preceding week, month? And do you have enough to cover those? And then there are elements within that, like within the expense realm, like how are you spending your money? Where is the distribution of your funds? How are you investing the cash that you do make back into the business? Is it going to all the same area? It's not uncommon for us to see companies that have multiple products or offerings not understand how profitable each of those products and offerings are on a standalone basis. They see the aggregate total, but they don't understand that the product maybe they're investing least in is actually the thing that is the most profitable. And if they switch the way they're allocating their resources, they might actually not have to do anything else other than make more money simply because of the way they're allocating it. So I would say there's this combination between revenue and expenses, cash flow. Sometimes we pull in operational numbers, sales leads, like how quickly can you close a lead to understand sort of what is the funnel look like for you. A lot of it is a function of how your business runs and how it operates. But I would say those are some like high level areas that we typically see most in most cases.
Got it. And what does the discovery process look like? I'm sure that you've probably done this so many times that you can get a pretty good idea of somebody just by what they're telling you and their industry, but how does it typically take shape?
Yeah. So, you know, through no fault of their own, where we usually meet the client is they're asking for something that they don't usually need. So a common example is they may come to us and say, I need better bookkeeping. And that may be true, right? But what is ultimately the thing that they're really asking for is like, they're asking for better bookkeeping because something else. And so what we really have to get to is not what is the symptom, but what is the disease that we need to treat, right? So when you say you need better bookkeeping, what does that really mean? Well, it usually means that they're having difficulty making some type of strategic decision, right? And so it's about understanding that and working with them to really get to the core of what it is that they are coming to you for. I often joke, although it is a serious question, one of the things I ask first when I talk to someone is, I know you don't want to be here talking to me about this right now. So what is it that forced you to actually meet with me to talk about accounting? And that's where we sort of dive into things, really understanding like, hey, you are telling me this, but this is the thing that really is keeping you up at night. Let's dig into that and let's drive through that piece. And through that process, what we'll start to unveil is the limiting factors. Some of it is, you know, limitations that they put on themselves that are not real. Some of it is there are just limitations of the systems they're using, and we have to start deciding how do we want to best solve those given the situation.
I'm sure that, well, maybe. Is there ever a perfect solution? The current solution is, well, I wasn't doing anything, and now I'm sitting here with you to have this conversation that I'm not super excited about, and then it's finding that just right. Is there some kind of a spectrum?
So, I mean, as you can probably imagine, right? There is this, the answer is never the same in terms of like what actually happens to fix the problem. Although I would say that it is usually a similar situation for most people, which is we start to peel away the noise from the data and we really core in on what are the things that are most critical. And as we do that, what often happens is that the founder or the person that is using this data to make decisions starts to have a better sense of, oh, this is actually meaningful, and I actually do see how this is helping me. And it's this sort of slow, not slow, but can be sort of gradual transformation of basically, and it can be a literal leaning out and now leaning into the conversation, right? And so where I always know that I've got someone really interested is the questions go from what was my net income to a more specific question about like, I see that marketing expense was this. Where did we spend that money? Like, who was that actually? What type of, and how, and what were we spending it on? And because when you start to get those types of questions, you're getting the person actually like they're interested in it now, right? They are now, you've gotten them past the aversion that often exists up front. And when you're able to do that, that's a huge step towards this. I think one of the biggest problems that often exists, if I'm being honest, is, and this is not the client's fault, just to be clear, it's not the company's fault, but they often are times coming to us because they've had a bad situation in the past. The data that they've been provided previously, it wasn't accurate, it wasn't on time. Or the most common one is that the information that's given to them is basically in a foreign language. Accountants are not great at talking to non-accountants. It's like everything we give is assuming that you can understand the same language I hand. But the reality is that's not the case. And so one of the most important things we can do is meet our clients and companies at the level that they're operating at. I don't mean like intelligence-wise. I just mean like, where are you and what are you focused on? And let's start there. Because otherwise, we're out of alignment. And that's always going to lead to sort of a disconnect.
That makes so much sense, and I think that the language analogy helps me a lot to better understand that. And I can see where people, once they, we don't need to become fluent in it, but understand, okay, these are tools, and now I understand how to actually use this, or at least I can see the potential of how using this can really benefit. So that'll cause me to get a little more interested in it and more engaged.
Yeah, and sometimes it's as simple as changing the format, right? Like if what you're used to getting is a table or a chart, maybe you just need a quick summary. Maybe a short Loom video actually tells you more than anything else, right? So we always assume there's this one size fits all for everyone, but we all know that we're different human beings and we all learn different ways and we all interpret things differently. So how do we understand that better and communicate better? The reality is that in a lot of cases, what someone has is not wrong, it's just not useful. And so, let's start by making it more useful and then decide if, like, once we understand it better, if it needs to be augmented at all.
What you just said, everything you said certainly makes sense. And I work in personal finance, and I always ask people, how do you like to process information? Some people want to see a chart, some people want to see a graph, some people want to talk through it. So why would your industry be any different? And y'all ignore that at your own peril. And I imagine that the majority of you, not you, but people in your industry probably blow right past that.
Yeah, I mean, I think there's this idea, and I get it, right? Like, in most people's eyes, if something's not broken, why fix it, right? But that ignores the fact that it probably is broken. And so we have an industry, accounting, it's not exactly on the cutting edge of evolution, let's be honest, right? And so there's this idea of I can scale if everything is the same. And I have to do the least amount of difference between each situation. So if I'm a larger accounting firm or I'm trying to become a larger accounting firm, it's easier for me to hit a button that produces the same report for every client. I understand that, right? Like, I think we all get that component of it, but that isn't what necessarily is best for your client. And I don't mean that to besmirch the other accountants out there, but rather if you have to understand, like, what is it that they want? If all they want is a financial statement, great. what you're giving them is spot on. But if what they came to you for is analysis and better decision making, then you're not actually solving the problem, right? And that comes back to, you know, we're starting at and understanding, like, what is your North Star? Like, what is it that we are trying to really get to the core of that, like, is non-negotiable for you to determine if what we're, if we're being successful or not? And I think that that's the piece that oftentimes gets overlooked in all of this.
When you ask a founder that, are they usually able to answer that? Does
But the reason they can't answer it is because they've never been asked it before, which means they've never really taken the time to think about it. Right? Like, the first time you're asked a question that you've been asked, that's if it's the first time you've asked it, you're like, I need to think about that, right? Mm-hmm. Like, I have to process, what is that actually asking me, right? So if the first time anyone's ever asked you is today, like, what is it that actually is meaningful to you from a financial standpoint for your business? Like, you probably don't have an answer, or we're going to kind of work through it in that moment, or maybe you have pieces of it. But I would say that it's usually months down the road until we actually have a concrete answer. One of the things I stress with clients is, like, what we're going to build for you from a reporting standpoint is it's iterations. We're going to keep doing it until it feels natural to you and that this is how it should be. And even when we reach that point, that doesn't mean a year from now it's going to look the same way or should look the same way. It needs to evolve with your business and your viewpoints and your analysis of the company.
It strikes me that this is without question a better way to do what you do versus just creating the same report for everybody and hitting send and washing your hands and moving on to the next one. And anytime you start doing customized stuff, it becomes more time consuming and harder.
Yeah. Yep.
So you made that decision. How come?
At the end of the day, this is a professional thing. When I went through my career and I sort of had those stops along the way, the thing that always pushed me to the next stop was that I felt like I was producing a necessary evil. Hmm. I mean, the thing I was doing, it's not that it wasn't needed, but it was only needed. It wasn't wanted. And so, like, for me, it was about, like, I actually, and maybe this goes back to the psychology component of it, but, like, I actually want to help people. Like, the thing I am most passionate about is helping people. And it just so happens that accounting is the tool I use to do that, right? And so for me, it's a no-brainer. I don't want 1,000 clients that are just easily snapping stuff out to them. I'd much rather have a smaller amount of them that I can have a real relationship with and be able to provide real meaningful data to. That to me is a much more like satisfying like experience from a professional standpoint.
Yeah, well, I certainly appreciate that. You do not want to just be producing and then reproducing a necessary evil that doesn't sound right. Like a recipe for excitement in the morning and jumping out of bed.
Exactly. Yeah. Yeah. So yeah, you know, no day is the same, but that's the beauty of it.
Mm-hmm.
It's not Joe versus a volcano, to use a very old dated reference.
Oh, it's such a good movie. Those of you who have not seen Joe versus the volcano, you are welcome. Nolan just turned you on to an absolute classic right there. So
probably more true today than it was back then, to be honest.
Yeah, probably. That's probably way ahead of its time, or really, really early, you know?
Yeah.
Or late, rather.
Yeah.
Late, anyway. I think everybody understands what I'm trying to say. Life is full of fun timing and stuff like that. I've been thinking a lot about just how to make better decisions and reading about and studying the Eisenhower Matrix and just it's always trying to find the highest and best use of our resources. And certainly it sounds like that's exactly what you're trying to do too. And I feel like when you go through this and people that are hearing this, they're like, oh, this sounds like a lot of extra work and it's an upfront investment. But when you get through it, when you get on that back end and you better understand and appreciate everything, I bet that you're saving so much time.
Yeah. One of the things I always try to quantify for people up front is, like, what is your real investment from a time standpoint, right? Like, you're a founder. This is like the last thing you need is more homework, right? And so one of the things I try to stress with them is you're not going to show up to a meeting with me and they walk away is, okay, here's a bunch of things you need to go do. Now, there are some things that only you can do, right? And that I need your help with that. But the objective really is that you get to show up and be you, and you get to ask the questions that you maybe weren't able to ask before, because a lot of this stuff is being taken off of your plate. So from our standpoint, it's not the objective is not to just create a bunch of busy work or even just create a bunch of work. It's to make sure that what you have is being utilized the most optimum way. And to your point, when you do that, you not only save yourself time now, but you are definitely saving yourself time down the road, right? The most expensive tax is the dumb tax, right? When you don't know that you've done something and you have to pay the penalty for it down the road, like that's not the one you need to be incurring. So how do we make sure that like we avoid those in situations and that we understand up front? And again, I stress this with the clients all the time, is we want you making conscious decisions, not unconscious decisions, right? I'm okay if you choose to do something other than what the data I have tells you you should do. That's fine. If you feel like, hey, I understand this is what it says, but my gut says that there's this component that can't be quantified that I want to go this way. Great. That's okay. But what we can't have is you not knowing the data says this and you choosing something else instead, because now you've been completely blinded to knowing what the information is. And so that's where we want to make sure we avoid people getting to.
Love it. Well, Nolan, thank you so much for coming on. Where can people learn more about you? Where can founders engage with you?
Yeah, so you can find me on LinkedIn. Very creatively, the handle is Nolan Bradbury. And then you can find us online on our website at bradfieldco.com. So bradfieldco.com. If you'd like to connect with us, there's a contact form in there. You're not going to get spammed. You're not going to sign up for a newsletter. We're not going to add you to a CRM, believe it or not. You're just going to get a response from a human being asking if you'd like to get some help with some stuff, as weird as that sounds. So if you want to reach out, happy to talk with you, see if there's something we can do to help. And whether it's us or someone else, we'll do the best to give you some advice and some feedback that will help you.
Outstanding. Well, if you enjoyed as much as I did, show Nolan your appreciation and share today's show with a friend who also appreciates good ideas. Go to bradfieldco.com and check out everything that Nolan's been talking about and reach out, shoot him a message, find him on LinkedIn, and take that first step in figuring out if Nolan's approach is the right one for you to get to where you want to go. Thanks again, Nolan.
Thank you for having me.
Until next time, remember, do your part by doing your best.